Amen. All right, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're looking at God's growth plan. God's growth plan. And that, thank God that we're going to heaven because we're saved, but God has a bigger plan than just us going to heaven. That's a really good part of the plan. I'm so thankful. And part of the plan is that while we're here, before we get to heaven, is that we will grow into the measure of Jesus. We will grow into Christ-likeness. And we've seen that it takes the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, and it takes our response that we will yield to Him. So let's look at our text in Ephesians 4:11. He, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What a plan. What a plan God has for your life. But can you see that your life and my life, we are connected. We are in the body of Christ. And when you grow and serve, it helps somebody else grow. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 143. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the grace of God that is the power behind our transformation, the power behind our growth. Last week, we saw that Faith is always connected to grace, that it is our response to what God has done, and we saw practical ways that we do that. I want to look at a place where I believe grace and faith, God's part and our part, has an intersection, and that is that you and I keep in step with the Spirit. That's from Galatians. Or we're led by the Spirit in our growth. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me on level ground. Now, when I think of being led by the Spirit, I can recall so many times in life where God led my wife and I in decision-making. And so we would pray about our kids' school. We would pray about where we were to live. We'd pray just about a bunch of stuff. And we would just see that God would lead us. Sometimes God leads us in the area of physical safety, that you have this kind of impression or sense that, you know, I think I should go home another way today. And you discover, wow, something happened on that other road. I know a story of a pastor friend of ours, this lady who God said, slow down. And there was a green robot and said, slow down. And she's not one who slows down very much. As she slowed down, and right before her, a drunk driver was going a bazillion miles, k's an hour. And God saved her from destruction. So thank God for the leading of the Holy Spirit in every area of our life. Today we want to focus on one area that He leads us, and that is to help grow us, to grow us. Look at Psalm 23. This is, you know, we really should look at this psalm more than just at funerals. It's a good funeral scripture, okay? Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So today, in the church age, God the Father, Jesus the Son, are in heaven. and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. God the Holy Spirit is on the earth. And so God is leading us. How does he lead us today in our new covenant age? He leads us by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has today a role as a shepherd in our life. Verse 3, he, God, restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Notice it's not just paths of favor and prosperity. Paths that lead to Mauritius and France, or wherever you want to go, okay? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Righteousness, right standing, uprightness. And so there are paths that your shepherd will lead you in that have to do with our lifestyle, that have to do with how we live out the Christian life. So Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, so who's leading us? The Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. This is a distinguishing characteristic of our family. Have you ever been around families where everyone in the family sings or they play an instrument and they say, ah, that family is musical, right? Other families have other distinguishing qualities that aren't as nice, right? You hear somebody from this family say, ah, that makes sense. All they do is fight and argue. Right? Somebody said amen. Either you're in that family, or you came out of that family, or they live next to you. Okay. There are family characteristics. And so those that are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. It should be a normal part of our relationship with God as his son or as his daughter, that he leads us by his Spirit. And so our lives are going to be changed and transformed as we let him lead us, as he guides us. Now, I want to read a big chunk of scripture today, and some of it is very familiar. Go to Galatians chapter 5, and this is where we see the fruit of the Spirit, the works of the flesh. But I want you to listen and hear for the Holy Spirit. I mean, not some mystical wind that it'll, ooh, I felt that, Pastor. Ooh, no. In the text, okay? Look for the mention of the Holy Spirit and his work and our response to him in this text. All right, Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Well, there it is right in the beginning. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So in the context of this passage, the Holy Spirit directing your life is not just to a better job. He can do that. I believe he wants to do that. In this context, he's going to guide your life so that you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Here's a top 10 list. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit, everybody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part. Wait a second, that was in our text, right? Ephesians chapter 4. Every part we're growing up into Jesus. What is one of the big ways that's going to happen? We are following the Spirit's leading. So again, this isn't just that you say a prayer, go to sleep, and wake up and say, where did that evil desire go? All right? Well, Pastor, can't you just cast it out? Honestly, I can't, and no one can't. And if I could, I would have been doing it by now. All right? Amen? So we follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So other translations in this is where we get kind of the phrase, you walk in the Spirit. You live in the Spirit. New Living Translation, it says that he directs. Another translation says he guides. He directs and he guides. Now, someone who is directing means they have the authority to do it. So we need to accept, Holy Spirit, you are over me. Jesus is Lord and Savior. I am under the authority of God in my life. Now, as a guide, he also says in this passage that he guides you. Do you know a guide is someone who has more knowledge than you? Remember Jesus said about the Pharisees, they were blind guides? That's not a good characteristic to have in someone who's guiding you. They don't know where they're going. My wife and I, when we had a sabbatical, I can't remember even the year, 2016, 17, something like that. And the first thing we did in our sabbatical is we went to Israel. And we were with a group of lots of pastors, and Pastor Hagen, Miss Hagen were on it. And it was just so marvelous, so wonderful to see the places where Jesus was and where Abraham, this is where he was. And it was just an incredible, incredible experience. One of the best experiences for that trip, it was maybe 9 days-ish, something like that, is that we had a guide. We had a guide who was raised Jewish, and he is now born again, Spirit-filled. And we made no decisions every day. The biggest decision was to have falafel, chicken, or lamb. And I mean, for me, that is not a stressful decision. Hallelujah. Why? Because we had a guide. We had a guide who has been there before. We have a guide who has more knowledge than we have. So he did lots of talking and we did lots of listening. He walked and we followed. And there were a couple places where he said, be careful in this section. So we were careful in that section because he's the guide. He's the guide. How foolish would it have been if we said, yeah, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to rent a car and just kind of discover. No. Our experience would not have been what it was. So a guide is someone who's going to help you to get to places. All right? So it says there that if we're directed by the Spirit, we're not under the law of Moses. So the law of Moses, 613 laws for Israel to live by, now, through a variety of ways, God has inscribed those laws in our heart, and then God, the Holy Spirit, directs us, and he'll never direct us out of the will of God, he'll never direct us out of the Word of God, but he will, and if we're following him, we're going to obey God. And we're going to do what pleases to him. We're going to be a good partner of his. Look at Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 8. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Meaning that is a debt that we do have. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. There's any other commandment are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. All right? So anyone who steals or bears false witness or commits adultery has stepped out of love because it harms someone else. It is a step into selfishness. I want what I want. It's good for me. And I don't care what it does to someone else. So if I'm walking in love, directed by the Holy Spirit in love, every day, every moment, remember it said every way, right? I'll kind of wake up and I'll realize, I've been married for 31 years and funny enough, I haven't committed adultery. Because I'm walking in love. I don't have to get a tattoo. Don't commit adultery. Walker, don't forget that, Walker. It seems like really important. I don't know why it's important, but it's really important. No, the Holy Spirit's directing me, helping me. In verse 25, there in that passage, in the NIV, listen to this. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been at a function where there are military people doing something. And there is a leader, but they're so much connected to each other, you kind of almost don't even know who's the leader. Because they are in step with one another. It means that I'm not stepping where I want to go. I'm stepping where the Holy Spirit is stepping. Okay? And life in God is not for you to freestyle. I'm just stepping out. I'm just going to dance my own way. No. The Holy Spirit is our leader, and wherever he's stepping, we are stepping with him. And we have a responsibility. Keep in step. Keep up. Or if the Holy Spirit says slow down, slow down. All right? So, in one of these great ways is we don't walk out of love. So Romans 5:5 says that when we were born again and when the Holy Spirit came and indwells us, that he brought something with him, which makes sense. God is love, right? So when the Holy Spirit came to indwell us, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. So the Holy Spirit will give you promptings of love if you're listening. Promptings of love. Oh, my. Couple things come to mind. I was with a couple men and we were learning together. We're kind of in this group. And Sammy, do you mind if I tell the story? I just thought of it. The 30-day love challenge. Okay. and one of the things was about we were all three of us married, and you know, how do we treat our wives and everything? And Sammy came up with this idea. He said, I decided to have a 30-day love challenge. And I don't think you told your wife. I don't think you told Edna. But he just did this. He said, every morning I woke up and I thought, I'm gonna find out something that she needs that I can do that will be loving to her. So he would just kind of, in the first few minutes that he'd find out what it was, and then he would do it every single day for 30 days. All right? Because like all husbands, we had been talking, and we have a, you know, when your car is out of a line, it kind of pulls to the right, you know. So we were talking about how as husbands, we kind of pull towards selfishness. What about me? Right? And so he began to do that. And we'd come back and we'd meet again. And he's like, ooh, things are changing. Things are happening. All right? And let's just say his wife was more smiling than last time I saw her during the 30-day love challenge. All right? And I think you've extended to the 30-year love challenge, right? Okay. Where did that prompting come from? The Holy Spirit. So, there was a prompting, now act on it. Now do it. And it will always, always be within this way of love. I thought of another example. I actually see her today. Mina, where are you, Mina? Raise up your hand, Mina. So, She at time in her life, she was an auditor, so she can correct me if I get this story wrong. But at the old building, we used to have a Wednesday night service. And there'd be about 50, 60 of us that would go. And there was one night where we were there, and I know Mina, she would get, I think you were at ZRA at the time, right? Internal auditor at ZRA. And she would come, and she didn't have six kids at the time, so she could go to Wednesday night service. And so she had her entire month's paycheck in cash, right? Back in the days, we all used cash, right? So she had an entire month's paycheck in cash. And there was a lady who, if you saw her at church, she looked kind of looked sharp. And Mina said, I just had this unction, this impression. Go give her your entire paycheck in cash. And she did. And so, without knowing anything, here's the story. And it was a lady, maybe some of you remember, Delphine. Her husband was a minister in Congo and was shot in the head during a transition in government, dead. And she and her kids fled Congo, landed in Zambia, and for 2 years they were living under a bridge near the Kafue roundabout. So imagine going from the life of a minister, cabinet minister, to living under a bridge. It's a huge setback. But she would pray, and she prayed. She knew the Lord. And one time she found herself praying under the bridge with her family. God, show us your love. Show us your love. Lord, may we meet people who love you. And she found herself at Mulungushi Conference Center, and she kind of looked across the street, and there was our sign. It had the dove. Remember, we had the dove logo? And it said, connecting people with the love of God. And she said, oh, well, that seems like a place where there might be love. So she went to a Wednesday night service for the first time, sat down, and somebody handed her a nice 1 month's paycheck. And the rest is history. They got connected into our church. You wonder why, right? Got connected into our church. There was Frank, the dancer, and Rhema, and then there was a little, I can't remember the young son's name. And then Delphine got refugee status with the United Nations, and the whole family lives in Australia now. Love in Jesus, love in life. Well, Pastor, I'm glad you said that. I think the church should be doing more for people like that. And just wait for the next AGM. I'm going to speak my mind. Okay. You are welcome. You are welcome too. Do you know who the church is? There's not a secret room somewhere where there's five people that are the church. You are the church. You are the church. And God's going to direct you to give away 1 month of salary.
Oh, no, no, Pastor, I'm not, no, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. No. Pastor, I want the church to give away money.
I'd like to check your tithing records, which I don't ever really unless I need to, but that'd be interesting to know. See, the prompting, supernatural prompting of the Holy Spirit. Ask your wife every morning, how can I bless you? Amen. Come on, men, take the challenge. Take the challenge. Oh, I wish you could see the faces I see right now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. Men, I know what you're thinking, men. My wife needs a challenge of her own. Okay. Maybe she does. Maybe she does. All right. Well, here's the thing. You're the leader, right? Right, husband? Lead her into the challenge. Okay. Matthew 6:13. Some of us, I know I grew up praying this prayer every day that I went to church, the Lord's Prayer. And this is a part of it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. New Living Translation says, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So the prayer that Jesus prayed to me is not necessarily that we would say it rote. That's not the worst thing in the world. I believe there are principles there. There are principles of God's will for our life that are in that prayer. And so it says, God, help me not to yield to temptation. Lead me out of temptation, okay? And rescue us from evil. And I believe there are ways, practical ways, that we want to see today of how God is going to do that. I think for many of us, temptation, obviously it starts in the heart, James says. We'll see that. But it involves, for most people, especially for Christians, it involves people and places. People and places. Okay? And the Holy Spirit would lead Paul and his team and forbid them to go to Asia. We don't know why. Maybe it was the timing of the Lord. But don't go there. Say no to that invitation. All right? And many times it's people that get us there. People. And if you think back on your life, maybe just since you were a Christian, because before you were a Christian, you were just following your sinful heart and you were in the devil's family, so it would not be surprising that you ended up in the wrong place. But since you've been a Christian, and times where you messed up, and times where you regret and that caused pain for you and others, I would imagine many, many times there are people, there were partners in crime. You may have thought they were a friend or they gave you counsel or could have been a family member or something. But you walked with them, not on a path of righteousness, but to a bad place. And sometimes I really, really believe the Holy Spirit will give you a prompting. That person does not need to be a part of your life. Or the Holy Spirit, you get enough evidence as a fruit inspector. Well, Pastor, I don't want to be a judge. Okay. But didn't Jesus say, by their fruit, you will know them? So if you're ignoring fruit, you're not being a fruit inspector that God wants you to have in you. And the Holy Spirit will say, you know, you kind of see this and this and that. That doesn't look a real good candidate for someone who's going to walk with you to a path of righteousness. All right? Like the psalmist Taylor Swift said, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. Trouble, trouble, trouble. I'm not done. And then she says, now I'm lying on the cold, hard ground. Okay. All right, laugh. But she knew it to be true. Okay. Trouble. People will help you get to trouble. So, Proverbs 6 and 8 is a contrast. Wisdom and then somebody who didn't listen to wisdom. Proverbs 6, it talks to a wise man and a woman who is not godly and a woman who is a seductress. The Bible says this, don't go near the door of her house. Well, you know, I just kind of wanted to see where she lived and... You know, she sent me this message, and I just, you know, I checked out her profile, and you know, you're going near. See, the Holy Spirit will help you. Don't go near there, because you knew they were trouble when they walked in, leading you away from certain relationships, from certain connections. People in business many times have partnerships. Oh, my. Pray as much as you plan. And the Holy Spirit will show you. You know, that guy with a fish sticker on the back of his car? That's a shark. When people show you who they are, believe them. So when it comes to jobs, when it comes to associations, businesses, partners, social groups, oh, the Holy Spirit will help you. He will guide you. He will lead you. Amen. If you're listening. Now, for Sammy and Mina, the Holy Spirit, in that leading, there was sacrifice, wasn't there? I don't feel like giving away a month of my salary. I don't feel like serving my wife for 30 days in a row. Are you kidding me? What would my father say? Well, your father's not married to your wife, is he? Okay. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. He will lead you in the way of love. He will lead you with people and places. He will also lead you when it comes to temptation. Temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. So, if you think you're standing firm, that would be pretty good, right? Standing firm. Be careful. Be careful. Be sober. Be aware. Be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. Well, this seems weird. No, it's common. It's happened before. And God is faithful. He's faithful. In what way? Here's how he's faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but. Here's how he's faithful. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Everybody say, the way out. So, one way that people misunderstand this verse is they picture God at an executive desk in heaven, and he's got these end trays, and the devil brings them a stack of temptation requests for Walker, and he reads them. I think he can handle it. Please, go ahead. Make Walker to be a scratch golfer, and then I will fill his heart with pride and arrogance, and he'll get distracted from golfing. And I'm thinking, the Lord would say, ooh, I don't think he can bear that. Because he probably would. If I was a scratch golfer, I'd be telling you every day. I'd be walking in pride with a smile on my face. All right. My wife, she knows that is not a joke. That is fact. Okay. So, no. Devil, look. Thanks. Good idea, but he can't handle that. Reject it. No. That is not heaven. That is not how this is working, that God somehow is the temptation filter of our life. He can do it. No, he can't do it. No, it says that he's faithful. All right. Some people misquote this verse and they say, well, you know, God says he won't put anything on you you can't handle. That's not what that verse is saying. All right. Where does temptation come from? Where does temptation come from? It's not a mystery. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So before we figure out where, we know where it's not coming from. Never, ever, ever, ever heaven sent. Okay? But, verse 14, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Say, my desires. And enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Go back to verse 14 and just help me out here, because I can't find the devil or demons. There's no devil or demons in verse 14. Now, verse 15. Help me. I can't find the devil or demons. Okay, it's not like the cartoons where the little demon appears on your shoulder. Walker, Walker. Steal the money. Which one am I? You know? No. It comes from within. Okay. So, what is God's provision during temptation that he did not send? He knows we're going to face it. Jesus faced it. What is his provision? His provision is there is a way out. There's a way out. There's a way out. And it's a general thing. It's a general thing. And I'm so thankful for people in my life that I can go to, because I find many times the way out is I need to pick up a phone and call somebody. People call me and say, whew, you have no idea what just happened. All right? Sin breeds in the dark. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Bring it to the light. Bring it to the light of God. Bring it to the light of God's people. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I just don't have anybody to talk to. Yes, you do. That is a lie. It's a lie. You do have somebody to talk to. Amen. Practicalities. How do we live this out? How is the Holy Spirit going to lead us? Lead us in paths of righteousness. People at Miracle Life, lots of folks, we notice that they get transferred to Livingston or the Copper Belt. They might get transferred to another city. But people tend to have paths around the world. And so people don't always stick at Miracle Life for 20 years in a row. Let God lead you to find a local church one day. Well, I really like, you know, I really like the comfortable chairs. That's not leading. Okay. Well, you know, I've been really praying about leaving Miracle Life because, you know, it takes a long time to get out of the parking lot. Sometimes. And we're always working on it. We're always trying to make it better. But that's not the Holy Spirit's leading. That's just your carnal flesh's annoyance. Don't let that be the leading of the Holy Spirit. All right? He'll lead you with churches. He'll lead you with mentors in your life. My wife and I were reflecting on this, and we just thought, my. Where it comes to paths of righteousness and God's growth plan in our life, Oh, the supernatural leading of the Holy Ghost. That he would say, go see this person. Go to this conference. Go talk to this person. And through that door, wow, was so much growth. Was so much growth. So much help. Unbelievable help. In a similar way, when it comes to learning, where you're going to be developed in your gifts, let the Holy Spirit lead you. But here's the other thing, is you have to obey him. Right? Sometimes we hear, and this is not for everybody, but sometimes we hear this from folks, is that you know, they get stuck in at Rhema and they say, oh, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me for 6 years to do this. Oh, I don't know why I waited. Well, because you were carnal, that's why. You were fearful. Don't wait. Don't wait. Okay, unless the Holy Spirit says, say, wait. My wife and I wanted to do more education, and we felt like the Holy Spirit said, wait till the kids leave the house. And so we did. So follow his leading. We've had professional counselors in our life that God has led us to. Yeah, we've asked around, we've talked around, but man, what help did we find? Without professional, godly, Christian counselors, my wife and I would be divorced today, without question. I mean, without question. We were not figuring it out ourselves. The wisdom we had between the two of us, it was not enough. I'm so grateful that God put these people in the body of Christ to help us. And then the Holy Spirit said, go see them. Or go ask this person who's really, really, really smart and knows tons of counselors who would be the greatest help. And then we did it. And it took time. It was expensive. Way less expensive than a divorce. Way less expensive than a divorce. Huh? Or we could have woken up 3 years after divorce and say, oh God, God, where, so where, why? I led you, I prompted you, but you were just not listening. You were saying I'm too busy or I don't have the money or whatever. Oh, such life awaits us on the other side of the Holy Spirit's promptings in our life. Such help. He's our helper. Sometimes it's just a book. My wife and I were led into the Spirit-filled life, charismatic life, speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit, because they didn't know each other at the time, but each of our moms walked into a bookshop, a Christian bookshop. Her mom said, where's a good Spirit-filled church around here? Boom, the family went there. My mom walked into a Christian bookshop and just felt a prompting. Pick up that book by Kenneth E. Hagin. She did. The rest is history. Okay. So sometimes it's just as simple as a book. Don't miss God's supernatural leading because you want something spectacular. There on the back row. There on the back row. You. Not you. No, you. Yeah. You know, and then they levitate, right? And they turn sideways. And I tell you your phone number. You already know your phone number. That's not helping you at all, okay? Oh, the Holy Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And he'll lead you into maturity. He'll lead you into life. Oh, and one of the greatest things he leads us in, oh, and he helps us in, are the narratives of our heart. The stories that we're making up. The stories that are not from heaven. This is a sad one, but listen to how the Lord tried to help Cain. Abel's sacrifice was received, Cain's was not, and yet the Lord went to him. Genesis 4:6, why are you so angry, the Lord asked Cain? Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. I don't love Abel more than you. There's a path for you. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. So there was God helping Cain. What did he do with God's help? Discarded it and killed his brother. Now, this is an encounter that God had with someone helping him with sin and growth. How much more do you and I, in the age of grace, and that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, how much more will he help us? How much more will he help us? Amen. Don't take that job. Turn off that dumb movie. Oh, there was load shedding. I guess the Holy Spirit wanted me to have the movie off. Mm-mm. That's not how he leads you. You pick up the remote and you hit the button with the red. Donk! Amen. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Oh, the Lord is good, isn't he? Let's pray. Father, you said that when Jesus, you said that when you left, it would be better. It would be better. Because you'd send us the Holy Spirit, one called alongside of us. And just as you were with your disciples, helping them, leading them, guiding them, challenging them, instructing them. Holy Spirit, so are you with us right now, today. Father, may we realize where we missed it, but Lord, may we have hope that we're not going to continue to miss it. Lord, thank you so much as we look back on our lives where you have directed us and you have helped us. And you, Lord, for many of us, we know that being at Miracle Life is a result of your leading. It's a result of your direction. Thank you for that. I'm thankful for that, God. Father, help us. Help us in our marriages, in our businesses, in our life, raising our kids, reflecting you, giving our gifts, every area of life. Holy Spirit, be the director. We will be the listener. We will take steps of faith to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just with heads bowed and eyes closed, Christians, and I'll be the first to admit this, when I put together some of this material, I have some regrets. I really, really do. And that's tough. It's tough. All you can do is say, God, I'm sorry. But I can't live in the past. If I need to make it right and there's restitution, I can do that. But what I can do is say, God, I'm not 23 anymore. I'm following you, and I'm going to follow you the rest of my days. And I'm going to obey you today, and I'm going to obey you tomorrow. And Holy Spirit, I am going to do what you said to do, and I am going to follow those promptings. Amen. I am going to take the 30-day love challenge. Because I promise you, one or two or more, some of you husbands thought, I need to do that. Monday morning is the day. Amen. Father, Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry where we've missed it. And thank you that there is forgiveness. There is help. But there is also grace for today. Lord, maybe we're sorry, but we've kind of created a mess right now. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit who gets us out of the wilderness. That gets us out of even the self-created stuff of our life. Oh, you're a good shepherd, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you truly are our helper. Father, thank you for mercy and grace and hope for tomorrow. Hallelujah.